Hey folks, this is Slingsbot here. Just a couple of words before we start. We had actually, when we set out to record this episode, had some internet difficulties. We were having trouble maintaining a connection, so there are periods during our recording where the call just got completely disconnected. So every time you hear this noise, it's where we had to stop and start over again. I've tried to piecemeal this show together as best I can. Apologize for any little drop-offs or anything like that. It should be fine. And if you can live through the episode in its entirety, there will be a nice little Easter egg of us, of our original intro, the first intro we tried to record that had failed, but we saved this minute and a half. We think it's comedy freaking gold. Happy holidays. Enjoy your family time, and we will see you in the new year. Now on to the show.
It's like you're a speed freak. It's like, it reminds me of that story that a mutual friend of ours, who once I tell it to you, you'll know exactly who it is, did like, I don't know if it was his first time or what it was, but he did like some ephedrine or some kind of speed at the Husky and then got so jacked up that he's like, fuck it, I can't sit here anymore. I have to go. And he ran home. And his friends, who left like 5 minutes after him in a vehicle, did not beat him there across town.
That's amazing. I have no idea who it is, but that's amazing.
Really, you don't know who it is? That
I have no
surprises me.
idea. Who was it? I was gonna guess, but I didn't. Son of a bitch. I was gonna say.
You just created more work for me in the edit. I now have to go out and pull his name out.
Oh, we're recording now?
Oh yeah, we're going. We're rolling. I don't know if I'll keep
Okay.
it all, but that was good. I enjoyed your reaction to that, and I wanted to keep it.
Okay, and you have to edit that. Just put a beep in.
Yeah, or just cut it right out. Not the whole section, just his name.
Okay, so this is what we're gonna do today, Matt.
What are we gonna do today, Grant?
First, we're gonna sing a theme song.
Okay.
I don't know what we're gonna do. We have to figure that out.
I'm not sure either. I'm nervous about that too.
And then we're gonna talk about the war on Christmas.
Yes, which I'm very excited to do again.
And then we're gonna talk about Bill O'Reilly. He said something interesting today while I was watching his show.
Okay. I enjoy that you watch his show.
And then we're gonna talk about a third thing that I don't remember what it is anymore.
We were going to
What was the third
do
thing?
Festivus Pole, Billow, White Santa.
Oh, right. We're sandwiching the war on Christmas around Papa Bear.
Yes, well, Papa Bear is a big I don't want to call him a proponent of, but maybe someone who takes a strong interest in the subject.
But this has nothing to do with it. It's just a
Oh.
clear, it's standard Fox News hypocrisy.
Well, you want to lead with that, and then we can do the war on Christmas?
Okay, well, this is what. Oh, I guess we got to do the theme song then. What theme song do you want to do? We can figure it out as we go.
Man, I did enjoy our previous rendition of Quantum Leap, which I might just include in this episode anyway. Just like start it
Just
with that.
put it at the end.
Okay, it'll be a little Easter egg at the end. I will throw in
Yeah,
the minute
do
and
like
a.
four.
It was a minute and a half of Grant and I trying to hum various television, cartoon, and live action show theme songs.
No matter what I did, I ended up doing MacGyver theme song every single time.
It was great. Okay, theme tune.
Oh, and
Rock-a-doo-doo-doo.
DuckTales.
DuckTales.
And what about the Tailspin?
No, it was the Rescue Rangers.
No, I know, but what about Tailspin? Do you know that one too? Isn't it like Tailspin? Tailspin? No, that's
No, that's
DuckTales again.
DuckTales again. And every
Jesus
time I try
Christ!
to do Tailspin, I just end up doing DuckTales.
I want to think that it's like a jungle theme, like Uyo,
Yeah,
Uyo. Well, that's.
there's definitely like Congo drums or some kind of low bass drum. It definitely has
Do. Tailspin.
Tailspin. That rings a
That's what it
bell.
is, right?
But yeah, no, that's right. I just don't remember all the bits that come before the very end
You
where they
remember
go
Tailspin
Tailspin.
where he's soaring on that damn boomerang thing?
No.
You don't remember that?
I have no
Like
memory of that.
so Baloo flies the plane, and then like Kip or whoever Skip or whoever the little thing is.
Gidget? You know,
his little partner.
Oh, the
his Robin like, to Baloo's Batman.
Yeah, okay. The little, like, he's a flea or something. Some kind of insect.
It's another bear. It's a smaller bear.
Is it? Are you talking about the same show as me?
Yeah, a Tailspin where Baloo runs a cargo plane.
Yeah, you're right. Gidget is from the Rescue Rangers. But this,
you mean
maybe
Gidget,
I don't.
Gidget, that's Gidget's another, or Gadget is another.
Was it Gadget? I thought it was Gidget.
Yeah, because at Disneyland they have Gadget's Go Coaster in Toontown. And she was a chipmunk, just like the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, and then, okay, you're right, because I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of the Rescue Rangers, because I'm thinking of the giant, like, big rat that had the little flea that was his buddy.
I have no idea what you're talking about now.
Okay, so I think we both had two different, you had much more experience watching Tailspin, and I had clearly had more experience watching the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. Okay, so just go.
Now that we
let's
know
just
what
do
theme
the old
song
one
we
that we
know,
did before.
You want to do the old one? How many like lines are we going? Are we going long, or are we just like, it's three times, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just want us to be in sync, and seeing as we didn't rehearse again and we're doing live.
I'll go ahead and start it.
Okay, you go.
Ready?
Ready. Me.
Super happy. Oh, come on. What are you doing?
Sorry. I thought you were doing. Okay, I'm ready. Okay, go again.
Here we go.
Okay.
I'm going. Okay.
Okay. I'm with you.
Super happy friendship. Oh, for heaven's sakes!
I did it right this time.
Super happy friendship hours. Whatever.
What?
Yay!
I thought we were doing them together.
That was horrible.
It was terrible. We got to come up with a new gimmick. One we can make work.
Or just maybe just one of us needs to do it. Each week we each have to come up with it's like my turn 1 week, then your turn the next week, and we take turns. And we just have one person do it.
All right.
We can rehearse it.
Yeah, or we could rehearse. Like, it's not like we have to start the call and then press record.
We didn't tonight.
No. Tonight took us a long ass time. Although, like I said, I am excited to do this again. Let's lead with your intro story, though. Let's lead with your Papa Bear story.
So just happened to be watching Bill O'Reilly today, and he is upset about somebody on MSNBC who is a champion for unions.
Right.
Loves the unions.
Could this individual be Lawrence O'Donnell Jr.?
I don't know who it is. I was only half watching it.
It was tonight?
I was cooking. Yeah, it was tonight.
Oh, breaking news.
Yeah, so it was he's upset that this guy on MSNBC is getting money from unions, even though he supports big unions. And the way he's getting money from unions is because he goes and speaks at unions.
So he goes and speaks.
That's what Bill O'Reilly's upset about, is that this guy goes.
So Bill O'Reilly is mad that somebody provides a service to a group of people and receives compensation for said service?
Yeah, and the funny thing is this guy donates all of his proceeds from his public speaking to charity. He doesn't take any money from that because he's making enough money on MSNBC as it is, obviously.
So he does not profit.
And so Bill O'Reilly's upset that this guy who champions big business on a show. So obviously if somebody champions big business, they're going to have this guy come and speak at big unions. They're going to have him come speak at the unions because he's a champion for them.
Right. Just he's like an advocate for them. That's
ridiculous.
They would have him come and speak because he's sympathetic to their cause, which is not an unreasonable position to adopt.
Like backwards thinking 90-year-old people would have Rush Limbaugh come and speak at their little unions.
Precisely.
Gatherings.
Let's not pretend
that championship their causes, and obviously they'd want him to come speak.
Precisely. Let's not pretend that Limbaugh doesn't speak at CPAC, that Bill O'Reilly doesn't get paid very well. I'm sure, to go speak places. I guess I don't know for sure. He might not do that. I doubt it, though.
And so Bill O'Reilly was upset that there wasn't transparency. He should have told everybody that he's making money here, but because he's like, because his big thing was, if you're gonna be sitting there advocating things that you're making money off of, then you shouldn't be a news program. You should be an entertainment program.
An opinion.
And all
guy?
They're doing is spouting off. And all they're doing is spouting off opinions. They're not doing any real news. They shouldn't be a news channel.
But doesn't Bill O'Reilly often say that his show is an opinion show?
On a news network.
On a news network, but he makes it very clear that the evening stuff is opinion, and he's on in the evening. But see, I'm glad that you told me that this gentleman gives all his money away to charity. It must be Lawrence O'Donnell. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's who I would guess it was, having not read or seen this segment. But because at first it sounded like Bill O'Reilly was anti-business. Like he was anti this dude getting paid for a service, which I would have a problem with if somebody said that. But now that you've told me that he donates it all to charity, makes total sense. Bill O'Reilly hates charity. Well,
exactly. It's just baffling that these people, they say, like Fox News constantly says exactly what they describe what they are when complaining about everybody else. A psychologist somewhere said that when you're criticizing other people, you're actually pointing out the flaws in yourself.
That's very wise.
So that's what they do. That's all they do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drives me crazy. If I'm riding around in the morning with my dad, I'm sitting there stuck listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, he's a Limbaugh listener?
Yeah.
So's my mom.
Oh, it's so painful.
You want to know the most fucked up thing? My mother is an obsessive consumer of right-wing talk radio. Not because I think she 100% believes everything that comes out of their mouths. She's definitely got that kind of a slant. But I think just because she's purely entertained by a lot of how ridiculous some of it is. But the best part is my stepfather is a avid reader of Prison Planet, also known as a website run by Alex Jones, which I find incredibly amusing.
I don't know who Prison Planet is or Alex Jones.
You don't know who Alex Jones is? He challenged Pierce Morgan to a fist fight once on his own show.
Oh, that's amazing.
You don't remember this? It was amazing when it happened. It was really close after Sandy Hook, and Alex Jones is like king of the 9/11 truthers, just to kind of like give you some perspective on this dude, and like super pro Second Amendment, like super pro gun. And very, very anti-government. Like, if you ever hear the phrase murder-suicide pills or the Bilderberg group, it's like a giant conspiracy where 20 people run the fucking world. It's fantastic.
I really think that we should, as a world, as a society, the UN could finally do – well, actually, they do a lot of stuff right. No one ever talks about the humanitarian stuff they do.
Right.
So – let's just eliminate the humanitarian stuff they do and focus on the world governing they do, which is not much.
Because they can't.
But we should take Baja, Mexico, and just say this is now not owned by anybody. And anyone that wants to live in a place without a government can go there. Go.
And see how well it works out for them.
Because if anyone knows anything about Baja, California, there's not much civilization there. There's not much roads. The further down south you go in Baja, California, just the least amount of roads. I think there's a resort town at the end of it. But, I mean, for the most part, it's just sand and
so the idea being they would have to start completely from scratch and actually build a society based on the idea of gimme it, it's mine.
And they wouldn't have to actually – they wouldn't be in an environment that would kill them. I mean, they're not going to get any tornadoes. They're going to get earthquakes is about it. They're not going to get hurricanes. They're not going to get freezing cold, because if not, we would just say, hey, Russia, we got a bunch of gays here that don't like the government. So let's put them in Siberia. And Putin would go, that's a good idea.
Oh, you're just calling them gay so they'll be more likely to take them and banish them to Siberia?
Exactly.
Okay. I would have to. Is there a high gay population within the libertarian community?
I would just be like, okay, guys, if you want your if you want to be without a government, you have to admit one thing. You love the cock. You want it all up in you. You want it on the chest, the neck, the throat. You want it like cocks in your ears, your mouth, in your ass, two of them in your ass, and if you were uncircumcised, you want to be docking with the guy. Yeah, you want to be space docking with the guy.
I find it problematic, the correlation you're trying to draw between I don't want to pay taxes and I love to suck dick.
Well, no, I'm just saying that we have to, like, I'm just saying you have to say that one thing so that you can get your free country in Siberia without a government.
Oh, okay. It's like the password.
Yeah. That's really what it is. It's just, hey, guys, knock on the door five times and say I love it in the ass with a giant cock.
And then you can live in a quote-unquote free society. You just have to say that one phrase.
Just imagine how quickly, if they were living in Baja California, which is amazing weather, amazing everything, just imagine how quickly they would be like, please help us if a big earthquake came in and you know, just totally destroyed their damn huts. Because that's all they would have is huts.
Right, because they would have to build a society completely on their own, create an infrastructure purely through hard work and the sweat of their brow, and it will never, ever happen.
And we would make it so that if anyone has like a satellite phone coming out of there, we would use GPS to locate that and say, nope, you can't use your satellite phone.
So it's
launch your own satellite, you asshole.
It's a complete dead zone.
Yeah, they can't use anything from the outside world. They just start completely fresh. They can have North Dakota too if they want. We'll give them these places all over the world. If you want a cold place, you can go to North Dakota. If you're a big fan of Deadwood, go to North Dakota. Sure, whatever. If you really, really love not being – if you really love permafrost, you can go to Siberia. If you love beach communities, you can go to Baja California.
All right.
You know, hell, no one's taken over Antarctica yet. It's a free zone. Go there. Go live in Antarctica.
Something for everybody, really. I enjoy your thinking on this, but it also tells me you've been spending a lot of time with your father.
because of my extreme response
to you don't like fine, go build your own society, start from the ground up and see how fucking far that gets you.
Well, but the thing is everybody wants to be with less government, but then they don't want to go, okay, we have to get rid of, you know, all the technology that the government gave us.
Exactly. And they don't like, every time I hear the phrase, I don't understand why I can't just keep my money instead of paying taxes, I have to resist the urge to yell at the top of my lungs, public fucking infrastructure, the sidewalk, you fuckhole.
I really think we should just, if people don't want to pay taxes, we should just let them and then just completely cut off their house, put up a fence around it and say, there, yeah, you're done.
You don't get to benefit from anything that tax money paid for, which is pretty much goddamn everything. That was fun. Let's talk about Christmas.
It's akin to the parents going, go stand in the corner, you little prick.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Awesome. Moving on. We had some difficulty. We're back now. The real reason we are here is to discuss something near and dear to Papa Bear Bill O'Reilly's heart. The War on Christmas. An interesting
phenomenon. Taking the Christ out of Christmas.
Since, you know, the early centuries when people couldn't read and write, and X represented Christ as a symbol for people who were illiterate.
Yep.
Anyway, a fictional character, not unlike Santa Claus. That's what kills me about this whole War on Christmas thing. We are debating and spending time, effort, and treasure on discussing things that don't really exist, that we completely made up.
That's my favorite thing is when you compare, is it Horus? When you compare the story of Horus and the story of Christ, it's identical.
Almost identical. I've read that. I've also read places that's actually been debunked.
But oh, really?
I couldn't say either way. I haven't exactly read the research on it. But I have read that, like, born of a virgin, died at 33, et cetera.
It's sad because I think I saw that on, like, History Channel or something like that. But nowadays when I see something on the History Channel, the first thing I have to do is go – I have to text my brother and go, Kyle, is this actually true? Since the History Channel does stuff like Ancient Aliens now and all that bull crap.
Oh, I love trashy history. Trashy history is the best thing ever.
But I wish they – because they have a H2.
Yeah,
that's History Channel on H2. Just put all that stuff on H2. Don't put it on the History Channel.
I watch H2 a lot.
I want my History Channel – want my History Channel to be history-rific, because there was a History Channel show about the connection between Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein, and it was super interesting. But the first thing I had to do when I was done watching it is I had to text my brother, who was a history major, and right. go, is this true? And he's like, I've never heard of it, but it could be true.
Could have happened. I don't know. I'm going to guess not.
Well, I mean, it's a part of history that I don't think he really studied, and it sounded plausible what they said, because they were trying to get a whole Arab state from Morocco to Iraq.
And it was a connection between Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein, who would have been how old at the time of World War II?
Well, no, but it's through his uncle. The uncle fought resistance in World War II,
okay,
Saddam's uncle, and he was part of the Ba'ath Party. And the right. Ba'ath Party was a fascist party. It is a fascist party. It was. Yeah. It took a lot of inspiration from Mein Kampf and Hitler.
Okay.
And some of the leadership of the Ba'ath Party went to Hitler asking for help with their revolution. And they said, if you help us, we'll help you defeat Britain in North Africa. The only catch is you have to give us North Africa. you have to give us Morocco to Iraq. You can have the whole world, but we just want Morocco to Iraq. We want an Arab state, a united Arab state.
Which
and,
I'm sure he would have agreed to, and once he had won, if he had won, just murdered them all like he did everybody else.
Well, this show also talked about how Hitler was all for deporting all the Jews to Palestine.
Oh, really?
And then but the thing was, once he conquered the world, he was just going to have, all the Jews are in one place, hit one button, all Jews dead.
Well, I do have to deal with a lot of history on my other show, so let's talk contemporary.
Yeah, your show is above my head half the time.
Sometimes it gets a little nerdy.
That's not nerdy, that's intellectual, there's a difference.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nerdy is what Kyle and I do on our podcast. We talk about Marvel and
To be nerdy, you have to talk about pop culture related items. You can't be nerdy about science.
Oh, you can geek out about science. Like, we can geek out about anything. You can be geeky, geek out about all this. But you can be nerdy about science. There's a difference between nerdy. Nerdy is having a strong enthusiasm for, and a really good general knowledge, but some of the stuff that you guys talk about, you're talking about philosophers in one podcast that I listened to, and I'm like, what the
fuck? We talked about philosophy more than once.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's one specific time I was just completely lost. You guys were referencing people I've never even heard of, and all three of you were like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? Do they have a book club or something?
Paul does have a book club.
Is it all about philosophers?
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember who was on it. It was one of the earlier podcasts.
I remember a time talking at length for like maybe 15 minutes about Neoplatonism. That was fun. Anywho, there were three stories that we wanted to hit on the War on Christmas. And the first was about the erection of a Festivus pole. Erection. In Florida.
Well, here, let's quickly give a brief summation of what the War on Christmas is, because Canadians don't have to deal with that as much as we do down here in the States.
I do not. Like, the way it's described sometimes on your news television there is that, you know, atheist stormtroopers are blocking the doors of churches and smashing nativity scenes with the butts of their rifles, preventing the faithful from worshiping. Is that accurate?
That is not even close to accurate.
Okay.
Because nobody wants to do anything to churches. No one cares about churches. The only place of contention is in public buildings, like government buildings.
Okay.
If there's not a Christmas tree or if there's not a reference to anything related to Christmas, people get really upset. And then the other –
it is a season that as a society I guess we've chosen to celebrate. Like – various religions have varying holidays and celebrations and feasts and remembrances for this particular time of year. Yes. So it's not, yes. It wouldn't be unreasonable to think, oh, well, like given as a society, we do this. We could, you know, acknowledge that fact by putting up some kind of decoration up in our public spaces. Totally reasonable. Yes.
Yeah. And but the flip you flip the script on it, and if somebody puts up a menorah or if somebody puts up any other religious item token for this time of year, they're like, "What are you doing? This is supposed to be Christmas time. Christmas.
Right.
This is Christmas time."
Put the Christ
Because
in Christmas.
for some reason, the religious right thinks that America was founded on was a Christian nation, which it the United States was a Christian nation, which just never was a Christian nation. Like the Puritans came here to avoid religious
Religious
prosecution.
persecution, but they were also religious fanatics themselves. That's it's the genesis of Calvinism, isn't it? Or it's an offshoot of Calvinism?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Okay.
But
Is
I
what the
mean,
original
that's what.
settlers were, if I'm not mistaken.
And
Maybe I am.
the majority of the people that, pretty much the majority of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence could have, were against organized religion to a degree in relation to governing.
We're against a state-based, a religion of the state. And
Yeah.
they went on to elect 43 Christians.
Yeah. Well, it was the majority of our population for a long time.
Fair enough. But these people
Just
seem to
like
think
we're
that
closing in on have we're closing in on having a Hispanic president soon. It's going to happen.
one way or the other.
Well, it's going to be the majority of
Oh,
our
just
nation's going to be
by
Hispanic, so.
sheer numbers, eventually it's got to happen.
Yeah.
Well, and these people who seem to think there is a war on Christmas mistake acknowledging that another religion exists or might have some validity in a free society, and the oppression of your religion, like putting up an expression of another faith that doesn't in turn oppress yours.
Exactly. I think that they should, if I was Christian, I would embrace all religious holidays around this time because it's like, shit, you can drag the holidays out now for like 6 weeks.
Right, you could light some candles, you could get some presents from multiple different. You could dance around with your top off on the beach, or flying free, whatever it is that.
Orgy.
Yeah, exactly. To celebrate the solstice, I mean, I guess you'd have to go somewhere where there is a beach, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to do that here. It's fucking cold outside.
Yeah, it was 84 degrees down here today,
You shut up.
Fahrenheit.
You shut your mouth.
I had to turn my air conditioner on in my office because it got too hot.
I was happy that today it was 2 degrees Celsius, so shut up.
Yeah, some of your massive amounts of snow melted
Yeah,
today.
exactly. And then
Wait, does that mean you
froze.
guys are have you guys are having a war on Christmas because you had snow melting?
That's true. We must hate Christmas because the temperature rose. Really, I blame the oil sands and global warming for raising the temperature and melting the snow this close to Christmas, when everybody knows that as soon as the baby Jesus was born, there was an inch of snow in the Bethlehem desert, in the desert around
Well,
Bethlehem.
and we all know that that the problem with the oil sands and global warming it was made up by atheist scientists. So really, it shows that because of the atheist scientists, the snow is melting because of global warming, which they invented, and thus the atheist scientists are having a war on Christmas
Right, by melting the snow to affront our
through a fake
Lord and
idea.
Savior Jesus Christ.
Yep.
This is fun practice. I get to go spend Christmas with mom and my stepdad's family, a group of which are hardcore religious zealots. I'm very excited to wear my atheist pin and read my shitty book.
Oh, good
So
for you.
this is good practice. Oh yeah, it's going to be total baiting.
So that's basically the premise is that down here is people are they're daring to do different things with the religious symbols. They're daring to do different things with the non-religious symbols that are associated with Christmas.
Right.
They're daring to bring in other religions. They're daring to just be a house on the block with no Christmas lights, for God's sake. Oh my
And
God.
how dare they?
So they're daring to do these things, otherwise known as free choice.
Right. They're expressing their right as a free citizen to decorate in any way they see fit.
Basically, this is exactly what I would equate the war on Christmas to, is the scene, or it's the sh when they went to Jennifer Aniston's restaurant in Office Space,
Oh,
where
yes.
Mike Judge, the manager, goes, "We're required you to have 20 pieces of flair," and she's like, "I have 20 pieces of flair." "Yeah, but Bobby over there has 50. He has 50 pieces of flair." And so
Jennifer Aniston being the all religions that are not Christian, and Bobby, whatever the fuck his name was, with all his flair, being Christianity as a whole. If I'm understanding the metaphor correctly.
So if you're not conforming exactly to their idea of what Christmas should be, or the holiday should be, which is right. Christmas, then you're on a war, a rampage. You're on a T-1000 rampage against Christ and Christmas.
Some examples of which being the Festivus pole that was erected in Florida that – is her name Gretchen Carlson? I'm pretty sure it was
Carlson. I'm not entirely sure. Carlson,
who decided that because she wanted to drive around and show her children nativities, she did, and also did not want to explain to them what a Festivus pole was, which is my favorite.
And this is on a this was on a government property, and they had religious icons from all the holiday icons from all the religions that are having holidays this time of year.
Everybody was well represented.
And there happened to be a Festivus pole, and
which I think
great.
Is awesome.
That's fantastic.
I think,
but
Festivus,
if she wanted to
see
nativity scene,
I think Festivus should be the official atheist holiday for this time. I think we should all atheists should adopt it as their holiday.
I think it mostly has become adopted by the atheists, I believe. Anyways,
that's fantastic.
But the thing is if you want to go around and see unadulterated, pure nativity scenes, just go to the church that's on every corner of the street in Florida.
Right? Everywhere else where there's a nativity scene. Everywhere else that has one. Every church in your town should have a nativity scene. If that's what you want to show your children and you want to explain to them what a made-up holiday is, you know, a made-up holiday like Christmas, then take your children to churches where those things happen.
And also, if they're in a city – and that city decides not to do anything, really, mm-hmm. just maybe toss up a few lights and some wreaths.
Some tinsel.
And some tinsel, and that's it. Then that's also a war on the Christmas as well.
We're hot. We're live again. God damn it. It has taken us almost 2 hours to get 45 minutes of tape. But goddamn,
it's amazing.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna get it done. One more story. One more war on Christmas story to hit, and that's Megyn Kelly on her show. Because all these stories come from Fox. They're the only people who talk about this, or some of the like the most mainstream outlet that talks about it the most regularly is Fox. And on Megyn Kelly's show, which I've never been really exposed to before this incident. I don't know much about her other than this, but she
spells her name with a Y.
Yes, she does spell her name Megyn. Just in case you were trying to Google her and it wasn't coming up. Talked about an article written, I think it was written in Slate. The author's name escapes me because, as usual, I did no prep. Well, I didn't write anything down because that would be smart. Where she argued that, you know, that it was ridiculous that there were that the most typical depiction of Santa Claus was a white, fat old white man, and that was not necessarily representative of most or all or even most people, and I think her closing conclusion was something along the lines of we should turn Santa Claus into a penguin, which I didn't find out about until much, much later in hearing this story. I just thought Megyn Kelly was bringing it up to bring it up. But it happened, and she said that Santa Claus was white, and that was a fact, and we can't go changing things just because it makes you uncomfortable. To which I said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And then she said Jesus Christ and said he was white. And that was a fact.
And that's he's an historical figure, and that's a fact.
It's a verifiable fact.
Because she knew him. In the Bible. Let me pull up my Bible app real quick.
You have a Bible
app? That's the sound of my Bible app coming up.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Is there a purpose to
it says right
Bible
here.
App?
Caucasians 1, verse, chapter 5, verse 27.
That's my favorite book of the Bible, Caucasians.
It says, "And ye behold unto you this white as hell boy, this cracker, be your Lord and Savior." That's what it says right here in Caucasians 1, or 1st Caucasians chapter 5, verses 21.
Oh, man. Second Caucasians is where that really gets going, though.
Well, it's amazing how many times they can say he's – like, if you just read the entire book, it's just – I think they're
– all they do is talk about how white he is.
He's horrible at dancing, Jesus is. It says there he –
well, yeah, that's why you turn the water into wine. If you're a terrible dancer, the best thing to do is to get everybody drunk so that you look awesome. That's just smart. That's just common sense.
And the best way to get a girl to bang you is to pay her to do it. That's another thing white people do.
Is that a Mary Magdalene reference?
Oh, that totally is.
Well done. Did you do that on purpose? Or did you just stumble into it?
Oh, I did that on purpose. I'm a smart guy. I went to private Christian school.
Oh, you went to one of those in California too? I did. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoyed my religious education. It made me very cynical in my old age.
So the first thing about Santa Claus is he's based on Saint Nick,
right,
who is a real figure.
Yeah, and was in fact Greek.
Which is now modern day Turkey, actually. Turkey.
Yes, so most likely would have looked like a Turk.
And even the Vatican, something like 15 years ago, did a reconstruction of what St. Nicholas would look like, and it was a Middle Eastern fellow.
Yeah. No, he would not have been white or fat or rosy or any of those things. And
he might have been fat. You don't know that.
That's true. He could have been fat. I shouldn't say that. It's very...
And he could have been rosy too. You don't know that.
I always figured a rosy complexion was more typical of people from colder climates.
Well, no, he could be a huge alcoholic.
Well, there's that. I never thought of that.
Yeah, you got to think about these things.
So I really
put stress on the capillaries in the face and then make his face rosy.
I really didn't. I didn't think through all the cultural implications or potential avenues. I failed to be Batman is really what I'm saying. I didn't think of every angle. I let him down. Fuck.
So what actually is fact is that he would look Middle Eastern. He would look like Tony Shalhoub.
Well, and there was an explosion on Twitter and you know, just the internet was aflame with, oh my God, this woman's ridiculous. I could not believe that she argued for the specific race of a fictional character. This is nonsense. And after a week of that, she comes back to her show and issues... It's not really an apology. She does respond, though. And the video is well worth watching. You should watch the video of both, really. But the video of her explaining how she knew that it was a fictional character and that it was ridiculous. And it was all just a tongue-in-cheek joke. And if you were offended or if you thought it was insensitive or racist, really that means you're a race baiter and you have no sense of humor. And again, I said, Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. That's just like Justin Bieber is upset because, you know, Justin Bieber is just basically a giant twat.
Oh, and he said they were people that the media was bullying him and not letting him make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like fucking Thai hookers. No, Brazilian prostitutes and pissing in buckets and spitting on his fans. Like all those things.
Oh, you listen to Hollywood Babylon as well, I see.
I do, yeah. I heard that one today.
Yeah, so I mean it's he's the one that's being the bully, but yet he's calling everybody else bullies. And so she's the one that's being insensitive, and now she's doing that thing like I would do when I was a kid when I'd accidentally say something horrible. Then I'd be like, "Oh, I was just kidding." Or like when I was standing around a group of friends and like I said something and there's like a girl that I really like there, and I said something really stupid, and I didn't know it was stupid at the time. And then I just start laughing, going, "Oh, well, I'm so funny!" When everyone else is laughing at me, I join in. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm funny."
Just to try and save your own face.
She Yeah. She and if you watch the video of her saying that, that Santa is white, there's no possible, fathomable way if you have an ounce of sanity and perception in your brain that you could go, that person's joking. Because she's going to panel members during the whole thing.
Yep.
She's saying, what do you think about this? Do you they're taking away something that is so obviously factual and they're turning it into their own agendas.
It's a fact. Well, and what she says in her response is, like, part of it's not wrong. Like, she says, what I was really saying was that modern day, the majority of modern day depictions of Santa are white. Like, as if she was trying to be, like, satirical, almost. Like, she basically took every critique of what she said and then said that's exactly what she was going for, and if you didn't get it, you were just stupid and a race baiter.
Well, it's important to know that she is on that well-known comedy network, Fox News.
Right. Bastion of hilarity, I might add. I mean, there is, but for
unintentional.
Other, yeah, unintentionally. It's would that be considered irony? Would that be ironic?
I don't even try to find irony anymore.
You've given up.
I'm always wrong. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we did it, man. We got our 10 minutes.
Oh, well, we got to talk. What about?
Did we miss anything?
Oh, I don't care anymore. No.
Yeah, it's, like I say, this took us like 2 hours to get all this. I'm pleased with what we accomplished, considering we started the show twice.
I just wanted to make sure that it was obvious that I could actually do that. And I was underscoring what you were saying. Oh. I was giving background music for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll continue.
We've actually recorded
10, 15
four
minutes?
Different times.
Yeah, but we got like partway through an episode and then the connection died. And at least this time it was serendipitous enough to die when we were ready to change topics anyway. So we've got.
So this will be an interesting.
Oh yeah, it'll be a roller coaster. If you thought the 7-second delay for the first couple minutes of the last one was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Now I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you care if you're in a country that has separation of church and state?
Yes.
And religious freedom. Do you care if your city hall has a Christmas tree and like a crucifixion and all that stuff? Because I really don't give a shit.
I don't care, but okay. Here's my position on it. Like, I don't care if you want to put up whatever you want to put up. Fucking power to you. That's your right to do. In a public space, I think that there needs to be some measure of sensitivity taken for those who don't necessarily buy into your celebration. I don't think that's unfair.
But I mean, if I don't give a crap if they put up something like that, then I should be able to put up my Festivus pole.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it's the fact that those, like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God or Jesus. Like, I'm not celebrating Christmas because I believe it's Jesus's birthday, and I'm also not 10, so I'm not celebrating Christmas because I get a lot of shit from a stranger in a fucking red suit. Like, the only reason to celebrate Christmas is like, oh, it's a time to be with my family and the people I like and, you know, have a good time. We'll give each other some gifts. And it's just kind of the time that everybody's decided we're going to do that. So that's what we're going to do. So I don't like celebrate it however you want, but in a public space where like I have to go and like I would like to see some diversity and representation. And it's the fact that the people who claim to be oppressed are so vocal and yet so part of the minority that it makes me want to care more. You know what I mean? Like the louder they get, it feels like there needs to be somebody to be like, yo, that's not cool. Why don't we all just relax? You know what I mean?
Like if there was a city hall with a Christmas tree and a crucifixion, or not a crucifixion but a nativity scene, because the crucifixion is the whole other holiday.
Yeah.
But the nativity scene and other people got upset about it. And they said, "How come Islam's not representative?" And then I would hope that the mayor or the city council would go, "Well, it would be if you wanted to put something up. Go ahead."
Yeah, precisely.
Like, I don't think – I personally don't – like the city – the city should just put up a general array of stuff. And then if an organization wants to come in and put in specific things in specific areas, the city should allow it. If they're going to allow one, they can allow all.
Precisely.
Including my Festivus poll.
Yes, I fully agree. It's when the answer to the question why –
and I never go to City Hall anyway, so I don't understand what the big deal is.
It's when the answer to the question why isn't that there is because it's not about Jesus, that's when I start to have a problem.
Let's just say goodbye.
Yeah, let's wrap this shit up. I love that, although, like, the advantage to recording on my end is I always seem to get the last word, which is kind of awesome for me. If you've enjoyed this and you want to let us know, if you haven't and you want to let us know, you can tweet at us. We are at Friendship Hour Pod. If you've taken offense with something Grant has said, you can let him know at...
It's at Friendship Hour.
It's at Friendship Hour?
Yeah.
Oh, the email address is friendshiphourpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, okay. We'll not interrupt and we'll start from the beginning and we'll pretend like we just didn't say what we said. If you liked what we said or didn't like what you said, you can email us at
friendshiphourpod@gmail.com or you can tweet us at
twitter.com/friendshiphour.
You can find me personally at Slingsbot. And you can find my friend Fedgy here on Twitter.
At www.twitter.com/Fedgymans, FEJIMANZ, or Z, depending upon what country you're in.
And if you find either of us particularly entertaining, we also have other shows. I do a semi-not regular show called Drink This Podcast. You can find it on iTunes. And Grant, tell them about your show.
And we do, my friend Kyle and I, we try and make it weekly show about mostly movies, TV shows. Sometimes we get into other things. We talk a lot about Joss Whedon and Marvel.
That's true. You guys are Marvel zombies.
We are. But you can reach us. We're at whatever pod. That's at the Twitter at whatever pod, and you can go there and you can find us through there. Or you can go to whateverpod.com.
Oh yeah, you guys got a full blown website now, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Fancy schmancy.
I got to talk to Kyle about maybe we should just call it the podcast whatever now. Just call it whatever.
That's actually not a terrible idea. Well, until next time, I have been Slingsbot.
And I have been Fedgymans.
Now, go fuck off or something. I don't know.
Go enjoy Christmas.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
Why don't you celebrate Christmas? What are you doing? Listen to this. Go be with your loved ones, you mook.
Put your penis in something.
Not the food, though. That would be bad.
Well, if you make your own food on your own.
Oh, yeah.
And you're by yourself.
I mean, if it's your food, why not? Just if you wanted to stick your dick in your own food, that's cool. Just not communal food is all I'm saying.
Well, speaking about sticking your dick in things, Utah, if we completely just disconnect again, it'll just be over. I'm just starting another conversation.
Okay, sounds good.
So Utah made it so that you can be in a – they said you can't prosecute people for living common law polygamy anymore.
So it's perfectly within your right in Utah to have multiple wives?
You can't be legally married, but you can be common law polygamy.
Oh, interesting.
So, and Bill O'Reilly today was taking credit. He's like, I called this back when the gay rights movement was going on for gay marriage. See? I was saying, what's going to stop for polygamy?
And then bestiality. Right, Bill.
And it was totally funny right. Because he's like, it's going to be one guy with seven wives with 35 kids with all 35 of those kids on welfare. I'm like, what are the seven wives doing? Like, are
they
not
seven
working?
Of them. Cannot at least three of them, can't they go out and get a job?
Like, if you have 35 kids, some of them are going to be old enough to take care of the younger kids. So, yeah, literally four of those women – could go out and get jobs. So that's a five-income house.
That's you could run a small empire on that. Like, you could build a little army.
I know. It's a five-income house. You can easily – like, a two-income house can easily take care of three kids. and have a bunch of money left over.
Well, it depends on the job you have and a lot of other things, but in theory, yes.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I just thought that was ridiculous. That, yeah. So anyways, so if people started putting their dicks in foods, then Bill O'Reilly would be like, see, back when the gay rights movement was going on, I said that they were going to start putting their dicks in food.
And now it's happening.
I called it all those years ago. Play a cut that I didn't just record 5 minutes ago.
He's got like a fake mustache and a wig on.
I just don't get it. I mean, why do people care? If you want to be – if you want to be – well, that's why I think that there shouldn't be any legal marriage.
So you think the government should just stay right out of it?
Yeah, just get out of it. And then that way there's no argument to anything. All of a sudden nothing matters anymore because anyone can get married. Obviously you can't fuck a horse.
Just has to be able to say yes and be of the of consenting age.
No, I want to keep it in the species.
Yeah, that's what I mean by it has to be able to say yes in English, like in language. Oh, we're done. Good night, folks.
Hello. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morrow.
Howdy, this howdy, is howdy.
Super happy friendship hour. Yay!
Hey!
Oh,
wait,
what were Let's try that again. We'll do the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You want to do that one again? I had another one, yeah. And I totally forgot what it was.
I was working on the Full House one.
Oh, I was going for Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
How does that go?
That's why I can't remember what it was because I forgot this.
It's like da da. That's DuckTales. Here in Disney's. I'm going into A Team, I think. No, that's not it. That's Quantum Leap. No, that's MacGyver.
Quantum Leap is. Oh, how does Quantum Leap go? I love that the first minute it's of like, the show is us trying to.
Oh, that's MacGyver again.
Da, 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 that's Quantum Leap. That was the best first minute and a half of podcasting in the history of podcasting.